Hey, this is Eric, and welcome to Control-Alt-Achieve for November 21st, 2022. In this episode, we take a look at 7 EdTech Links of the Week.
So we're going to move on down to page 2, which is where we have the resources for this week. And from here on out, I'm probably going to take off my camera because I don't think you need to see me there. And I'll go ahead and I'll remove that banner there at the bottom. And so that way we can just focus on the resources themselves for the rest of the time here. Awesome. Very good. So to start off with, I try to look for resources each week from around the web. And then I also try to create my own new resources each week. And so as usual, I have some of both to share there. So hopefully you will get some great ideas to use with your students or to use in your classroom. If you're a tech person and you're supporting other educators in your district, please feel free to use and reuse these resources here. Well, let's go ahead and get started with our resources from around the web. So the first thing I came across was bouncy balls. And so we're going to head on out to the bouncy balls website. And so what this is a website that is designed to kind of help you visually monitor the noise level in your classroom or whatever room you're in by balls that will bounce in response to the volume level. So I'm going to come up here and turn on the microphone. At the moment is turned off. I'll turn that on. So now as you see, as I'm talking, the balls are starting to bounce there. So we can see. Oh, and there we go. I was too noisy. So it's shushing me. I'm going to have to turn off the noise. There is a noise alert you can turn off. You can also adjust the sensitivity up here as well as the total number of balls. Now, if you want something other than balls, hey, that's fine too. You can switch this out to emojis or to numbers or to bubbles, which actually float instead of bouncing on the bottom there, which I think is pretty cool, or eyeballs, which might work especially well during the Halloween season, but hey, it would be fun anytime. So just again, great website if you want to have a little bit more of a visual monitor on the noise level in the classroom, perhaps to help the students to keep an eye on, you know, okay, guys, as long as we keep it below this, we're okay. But hey, it could also be interesting in a music class to visualize the music, that as you're playing through a song, to be able to, you know, visualize as the volume goes up and down throughout that. I do want to give a big thanks out to Jake Boll, who shared this in his weekly newsletter. And so I picked this up from Jake and really appreciate him sharing that out. All right, good stuff. Well, let's go ahead and keep on moving. So our second resource here tonight is the What Not to Do slideshows. Okay, so there's two of these that I've got linked in. And so I'll pop one open here and I kind of give you a little bit of background on this. This one also comes from someone else. This was from Lancey Collins. And Lancey is one of the members of our Control Alt Achieve email discussion group, which again, I did mention that is up in the top links. If you haven't joined that, I would encourage you to join that group so that you can join in on that discussion. And Lancey was kind enough to share these slideshows. So what are these? So the idea is we want to teach our students how to make good slideshows. So, what's the best way to do that? Well, I'm sure there's a lot of options there, but one option would be to show them bad examples of what not to do in a slideshow. And so that's what this is. Lancey tried to put together like the absolute worst slideshow she possibly could. And so as you go down through here, you'll see whether it is just putting way too many contrasting colors and themes on there, whether it is not having enough contrast between your text and the background, whether it is too many animations, maybe having one on there here and there makes sense. Too much content and also a little too small there. We've got some misspellings. We've got the famous wall of text and on down the line here. And I think these, I'm assuming that what Lancey meant with this is these look like hyperlinks, but they're not. They're just actually underlined words that kind of give the impression that they're hyperlinks when they're really not. So the idea behind this was you could, give this as a presentation to the students and say, what do you think is wrong with this? And they would be able to, I think, learn a lot about how not to make a slideshow by dissecting this one or the other one. There's two here. There's two that you can explore here. And so I think that's a fun way to get students to talk and think about how to make a good slideshow. So thanks so much, Lancey, for bringing that out, putting that on my radar. All right, let's keep on going. So next up, we have Text Draft. So this is another one of those websites where you can put in some text and it'll generate a stylized logo or banner from that text. I've shared other ones like this in the past. There's a lot of great ones out there. I had not seen this one. This one was a new one to me and it popped up in one of my feeds. I was like, pretty nifty. So I think there's over 100 or so different, combinations of color schemes and layouts and so forth. And basically it's totally free, totally free. So if I were to come here, let's say I just put in my name and I said, okay, I'm going to generate a logo with my name. So I can now go through page after page after page of these logos. And there's lots. Now, some of them have the same style, but they just change up the color scheme. But nevertheless, there's a lot of really neat options here. Well, let's say you come across one that you like. You go, this one's pretty cool here. And you give a click on it. What's going to happen now is this going to give you the option to download it. And I like how there's really no gotchas here. You really can download these for free. They've got it from the small size all the way up to, extra large. And it's all free. I'll go ahead and do the extra large here. Give a click on that. There it is. And if you zoom in, you see it really is. It's very, very, very large. And then I could simply download that. Now, let me show you a couple of tricks, though. I'll go ahead and I'll save this just so we have it saved. There we go. Awesome. So let me give you a little bit of some tips with this because I was playing around with it. And this is great. I absolutely love this. It does a great job generating these stylized logos. But when you go to use it, keep in mind that this is a transparent background. It's a PNG, so it's a transparent background. So you can get sort of clever with this. For example, let's say that I wanted to use this logo, but I wanted the Eric on top of the Kurtz. I wanted Eric on top and Kurtz on bottom. Well, I guess I could just, do it twice. I could run it through this process two times, generate the Eric, generate the Kurtz, put them together. But you can actually do a lot of that right here inside of Google Slides without having to, run it two times. So for example, let's say I grab this this logo here. And I come over and I drop it onto my slide. And again, I could just, download it and upload it as well. Well, now that I've got it in here, what I could do is I can make a copy of it. I could duplicate this logo. Now you could, of course, copy paste. I like Control D. Control D is a quick way to do a duplication, or Command D. So that duplicates it. And then what I would do is I would crop these to cut out the Kurtz from one and the Eric from the other, so I can put them together in a different way. Well, to crop, it's nothing more than a double click. So just give a double click on it, so I could crop off the Kurtz from one of them, double click here, crop off the Eric from the other one. And now I could put these together. So I could put like the Eric here, and I can move the Kurtz here, and I could kind of move them around however I want until I'm happy with how they're positioned, get them just the way I'm happy with them. And then once I'm happy with that, I could even group these together, come up here and do a grouping on them. And now that they're grouped, I can move them together. I can stretch it out and make them bigger together. I just thought, you know, in case you weren't aware of that, because these have the transparency, it's not a big white box around them. You can easily, you know, move the different the pieces together and rearrange them in other ways if that ends up giving you the look that you're going for there. So awesome. Great website. I'm happy to share that with you. Seeing we are getting some good feedback in the chat as well. Awesome. Very, very good. Thanks, Peggy. She said she's so happy that we're doing these weekly tech links. She said she had hidden her comment window from using the tip last week, and she couldn't recall how to get it back, but she's got it back now. So awesome, Peggy. Thank you so much for saying hi. Your support is always greatly appreciated. I really do appreciate that so much. All right, let's keep on going. So we're down to our fourth link this week, which is Beep. All right. So I came across Beep actually from one of my coworkers. One of my colleagues at work was asking me about this extension. I said, you know what? I've not heard of it. And so he had heard of it. And so I started diving into it. And I was like, pretty nifty. So let's talk a little bit about Beep. So what you're getting with Beep is a free Chrome extension that is going to allow you or your students to record your voice and add your voice to Docs, Slides, Forms, Sheets, Classroom, Gmail, things like that. Now, there are other tools that do things like this. For example, I've done trainings on Moat, for example, which I love Moat. It is a phenomenal tool which does this sort of thing, but also does a whole bunch of other really wonderful things. And they're a great company. They're great people, and they really support educators in wonderful ways. You can also do voice recordings with Read and Write for Google. So that's an extension that I've sung the praise of many times. But it's always good to see when another company comes along and jumps into that arena, because, you know, it's good for everybody to have options, because, you know, we can learn from, you know, oh, here's a new tool. Maybe some of the other tools will make some adjustments based on it. And it's just always good to have another option. So let me give you the lowdown on Beep. So I do have it installed. I've got it turned off. So I'm going to turn it back on here. Okay, there we go. So I've got Beep turned on. Here's the general idea. Basically, what we're going to do is we're going to use this to, again, record our voice and add it to, you know, the comments of a document, for example. A couple of quick things about it. It is free. And it does allow you to record for up to 3 minutes at a time. So that is a good long length. And I have not run across any kind of limitation. There's not a limit to how many you can have. I mean, obviously 3 minutes per recording, but there's no limit to how many you can have. The only thing I've seen is after using it a bunch, I did get a pop-up on the screen asking me to put a review in on the store, which I have not done yet, but I think that would be certainly something I would be happy to do, because so far everything I've seen, I've been really happy with. So let's try it out. Let's show you the general idea behind this. So what I've got, let me grab a sample document and pull over a sample document here. It's on the other screen. So I'm going to grab a sample document here. This is one that I've used this so many times. Anybody who has ever been at a training of mine, oh, it's that George Washington. Oh, see, there it is again. It's asking me to review Beep, which I will, guys. I really will. I promise I will. But let's say that I wanted to give some feedback on a student, and this was their George Washington. This is their George Washington report, and they made some mistakes. You know, there's some misspellings, there's some verb tenses that are wrong, there's some, capitalization. Now, this is not a real, obviously, a real report. This is something I created for this example. But let's say I wanted to, to give them some feedback on this. Well, this would be a great way to do that. Now, the way it works with Beep, very similar to a lot of these tools, is I'm going to come in, I'm going to select the text I want to leave feedback on. Then I'm going to go over to the normal comment button. Just like normal, I'm going to click the add comment button. And here's where I can type in a comment. Now, because I've got the Beep extension installed, I get this new button here that says voice comment. And that's from Beep. And so what I'm going to do is, as soon as I click it, I can go ahead and start recording here. So let's try that out. Hey, this is Mr. Kurtz. Just wanted to let you know that there are some spelling errors in this document. Anytime you see the little red squiggly lines under a word, that would indicate a misspelling. So please do go back through those and see if what changes do need to be made, and let me know if you need any help with those. All right, so that was pretty short, but again, you can go up to 3 minutes. Now, at this point, if I want to play it back, I can do that. I can click on the play button here. Hey, this is Mr. Kurtz. Just wanted to let you know. There we go. So I kind of listen to it, make sure it sounds okay. There's also an expiration. And I thought that was pretty clever. I haven't seen this before, where you can say, okay, don't ever, let it stay alive forever, or let it be, let it go away after a day, a week, a month, 6 months, or a year. So I thought that was kind of interesting as to the expiration of it. But let's say I'm happy with it. I'll click insert. There it is. There's the link. I'll go ahead and click submit. And that's it. As simple as that, there is now a Beep audio note recorded. Now, if the student has Beep as well, then when they open this up, they're going to get this nice, pretty play button here. They'll be like, oh, hey, Mr. Kurtz left me some feedback. Click it. Hey, this is Mr. Kurtz. Just wanted to let you know. And they can listen to the feedback. Now, what if they don't have Beep? Well, if they don't, instead, they get this link here. So they wouldn't see the play button. They would just see the link. And what that's going to do is it's going to, of course, I'm logged in at the moment. Nope, looks like it'll still work okay. I wasn't sure how it would look, because I am logged in with Beep. But it's the same idea that basically they can click the hyperlink instead, and it opens up the Beep website. And then, hey, this is Mr. Kurtz. Just wanted to let you know. And then they can go ahead and play it. By the way, I think they're... I saw the reason they called it Beep. It was like, the old days when you were leaving a message, leave a message after the beep. That's kind of the idea. So that was kind of clever. That was pretty neat. So there you go. That's the basics of it. Now, you can do a lot more with it than just providing feedback to your students. So, for example, if I wanted to, leave an actual some audio directions inside of a document, I could use Beep for that. I could say something, again, that it doesn't necessarily make sense in this one. Oh, here, I'll grab a different one. Well, let's pull over this one. So here's one for German fluency practice. So let's say I wanted to put in some directions here. I could record with Beep. I could say, okay, I'm going to, select an area here. I'm going to do a comment. I'm going to do a voice comment. Hey, here are some directions for this activity. We will pretend I'm leaving some amazing directions right now. All right. Now, oops, something went wrong. Oh, no. That's not good. We don't like maybe it's because I didn't select some actual text. Oh, we'll try it again. Sorry about that, guys. Hey, this is Eric. Just testing this to pretend I'm leaving some directions. Oh, no. Something, I made it mad. So I am sorry about that. I was going to show how we could leave some directions in there as well. It's telling me to go ahead and to try it again. But at the moment, obviously, something is giving it a little bit of trouble. So that's okay. No worries. Let me try this. I'm just going to turn it off and back on. That's our normal approach for things, right? So let me turn Beep off, and then I'll turn Beep back on. And then I'll refresh the document and we'll see. And if it doesn't work, it's really okay. We can keep on going. I was going to show, like, for example, students, well, you could leave, an audio, some audio up here if you wanted to leave some directions. But another thing was, like, students could use it, like in this case for fluency. I want them to practice saying something. So the directions are select the text and then come here and do a voice comment. And they're supposed to record themselves. Guten Morgen. Hey, it worked this time. Guten Morgen. Awesome. Very good. We hit insert. And there we go. We hit submit. And so basically what happened is I could use this for students to practice fluency. So they could have a document like this. And they, as long as they've got Beep installed, they could go down, boom, 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 recording themselves. So whether it's a foreign language situation, a world language situation, or it's a younger student and they're practicing, you know, practicing fluency with reading a list of sentences. And then as a teacher, I can just come through here and go boom, boom, boom. And I can just play these. Play that. There we go. Guten Morgen, and I can hear how they did. And of course, I could leave feedback for them as well. So I think that's pretty cool. What I was going to show you, and I'm sorry it didn't work with the directions, I was going to show you that you can actually just click the link. You can copy the link here as well. So you can copy the link, the Beep link, and you could just put that link like up in here, like if you were going to have this be directions, and then you could change that to say something like directions. And then if they clicked on it, you know, it would open that up into a new window and they can listen to the directions being read so they can play the directions. And then lastly, we've got to move on. I know we got a lot to look at here, but last one, how about something like a form? So with a Google form, same kind of idea. I could use a tool like Beep to add audio to a form. So whether it's reading the question aloud, whether it's reading the answers aloud, whether it is giving a spelling word that I want them to, you know, to spell. And I don't want to show the word. I don't want to type it up. I want them to listen to it. So, you know, I could come here and say, oh, I want to, you know, I want to add, you know, spell the word in the recording below. So I could click on Beep here. Dinosaur. Oh, no. I got to refresh again. Sorry about that. I didn't refresh this page. Let's see if it's happy now. Sorry about that, guys. We'll try it again. Dinosaur. All right, there we go. Just needed a refresh. It was happy. So I can now say that looks good. And it says, okay, this has been copied, pasted in. So I'll go, sure thing. I'll come up here and I'll paste this in. And now that's going to put some Beep audio right into that. So if I go to look at this quiz, there's going to be this Beep audio there. Again, if the student has it installed, all they do is go, oh, spell the word below. Dinosaur. They hear the word and they type it in, you know. But if they don't have Beep installed, they can always click the link. Same thing, like if I wanted to have, you know, other, I can be reading off options, I can be reading directions, but it also works for the students submitting their response. So let's say, you know, putting my email here to submit this. Sorry about that, guys. So let's say, you know, there's me, and we'll say, okay, this is an acute angle. We'll spell dinosaur. Dinosaur. There we go. Whoops, I misspelled that. Well, maybe I should leave it wrong. That'll be more accurate. And then I didn't do these, but we'll just pretend it was option two. Sure. Okay. Now here, let's say we wanted the student to explain their own words how to find the perimeter of a rectangle. Well, they could type this up, but if they have Beep installed, they could just record themselves. And they could submit their recording instead. So again, if they've got Beep installed, they come here and they click. So to find the perimeter of a rectangle, one thing you could do is add up all the sides. So add, you know, the length and the width together, and all of them added up will give you the perimeter. All right, so it's saving that, and then I'll hit next. It has copied that link, and I can now paste that link right in. So now if the student submits this, not only have they benefited from the audio in the quiz, they've been able to hear the audio during the quiz for directions or whatever the case might be, or spelling words, etc. If they hit submit now, now me as the teacher, when I come here to the responses, I can come in and I'll be able to see that. So let's say I go to the individual's response and I scroll down, blah, 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 blah. You know, here is their Beep. Usually it plays that for me. Hold on, let me refresh it. Sorry about that, guys. Let me go back down. Usually, oh no, it's not. I don't know why it didn't render it. Usually it renders it like it did earlier up here. And I don't know why it's not rendering at the moment. Ah, sorry. It would have been so cool. So it does work though. Maybe they're still ironing out some things. That's fine. We'll allow them to iron out some things. It looks like, well, no, there it is. Okay, it did pop up. Maybe it just wasn't on the individual tab. Oh, okay, maybe I have to do it on the summary tab. Okay, nevertheless, here I can come in and click. So to find the perimeter of a rectangle.
Oh, there we go.
So excellent. Now, I guess I could also send this over to a spreadsheet and it would have those links in there as well. That would be another way I could do this. So now I could come over here and I could play the beep audio from that. So anyway, listen, sounds like a pretty new tool. You know, things like Mode and Read and Write have been around for a long time and they are just absolutely knocking out of the park. Mode and Read and Write, I absolutely love them. They do an amazing, amazing job at this stuff. But I'm happy to see that we've got Beep as another option to explore. And again, I think a rising tide lifts all ships, right? You know, it's good for everybody to be able to have options and for us all to learn from those. So pretty neat. Yeah, Kathy says, gotta love live tech demos. Yeah, Kathy, that's how live this is. These are things that I learned about in the last week, and that's why they're EdTech links of the week, because I just learned about them in the last week. So I am not an expert on any of these things, but hopefully enough to give you guys at least a feel for how these tools work. And so I hope that does help you guys a little bit there. I'm going to go ahead and turn off Beep. And there we go. Awesome. And we will keep on moving. But thank you guys so much. A lot of good comments there in the chat. I see Peggy mentioning about how this looks like it'd be great for ELL students. I'm with you there. I'm absolutely with you there. I could see this being one that I add into the training I do on googly tools for English language learners, because I with the Chrome extensions, I lump those right in there. So I think this would be a really great tool for that. And thanks, Kathy. I'm so glad you find that to be clear and helpful. That's great. All right. Well, let's move on to the final thing from around the web, and then we'll go into what I have shared, what I've created this week. So this last one, if you thought I wasn't an expert on Beep, I'm definitely not an expert on Mastodon, so this is one I'm absolutely still learning about here. So you'll see there's a bunch of resource links here. The first one, and I won't play this right now, but this is a YouTube video that I think does a really good job. And so this is a short video, like 2 minutes. So I would definitely encourage you to watch this. Plus, it's got cute mastodons in it. So, I mean, that's definitely going to help. Anytime you've got cute mastodons. The rest of these things include a spreadsheet and a form and a website. And I'll explain each of these here in just a second. So first of all, what is Mastodon? What is this? Okay, so Mastodon, to put it simply, it is a newer social media tool. Now I say newer, it's been around for years. And I'm bad on my history, but I've seen things going back 5 years talking about it. So in the tech world, that's not like, you know, brand new, but still compared to, you know, Facebook and Twitter and some of the other things out there, it's a newer social media tool that a lot of educators have started exploring recently. I've seen a lot of buzz about it, partly because of some of the changes at Twitter. You know, no matter how you feel about that one way or the other, there's definitely changes. And so people sometimes wonder, okay, you know, what if something happens to Twitter or whatever the case, do I need to be aware of other options out there for social media? So as best as I can, and if there's anybody who's here who's a Mastodon expert and you want to throw something in the chat, I will do my best to keep an eye there and see if there's anything you want to do to clarify my misstatements. But basically, what makes Mastodon different is that it is two things for sure. It is open source and it is decentralized. And so what do I mean by that? Well, because it's open sourced, that means anybody can run it. And because it's decentralized, it means nobody can own it. So anybody can run it, but nobody can own it. And by run it, what I mean is people can set up servers, and they call them instances. But a server is basically where you can join into the Mastodon world. And it doesn't matter what server you're on, but any server can talk to any other server. So for example, I am on Mastodon. And so I'll grab it from a different screen here. Sorry, I'll have to bring in my other screen here because obviously I'm signed into a different account here. So let me go to my Mastodon screen. So this is my Mastodon screen here, and where I was saying, hey, I'm going to be chatting about Mastodon later here tonight. And so basically what I have here looks a lot like TweetDeck. I think if you're familiar with TweetDeck, I think there's a lot of familiarity here with those. But basically what this means, so I have an account. So my account, I am at Eric Kurtz at mastodon.world. So that's my account. So the server I'm on, the instance I'm on is called mastodon.world. And so I can, from my server though, I can connect with anybody else. So, you know, all these other people that I have, you know, followed and joined with, they could be on any server, but we're all talking in the Mastodon universe. We're all in the Mastodon ecosystem. But again, because anybody can start up a server, nobody really owns Mastodon. It can't really be shut down. It can't be bought. It can't be sold. It's a kind of a different, you know, grassroots kind of a thing. So if you're interested, you go, well, where do I even start? So this final resource link here is a wonderful collection of resources from Miguel Gulen. So if you don't know Miguel Gulen, he's from TCEA down in Texas. And Miguel is phenomenal. Just a great guy. I love Miguel all around. He puts out so much good content. If you're not connected with Miguel in any way, make sure you are, and TCEA as well. They put out such good content. Well, he has been leading the charge and there's a lot of great stuff. So he's pulled together a lot of really good videos and technical tips and things to read, you know, tips for using Mastodon, you know. So from an educational point of view, how can you get started with this? So that's great. And then he's created a form where you can say, if you say, hey, I'm using Mastodon, you can come here and you can submit yourself. And he's got this wonderful spreadsheet, which is loads and loads and loads of people who have said, hey, I'm in education and I'm using Mastodon. Let's connect. And so you can copy their address here. And then inside of the Mastodon app, which you can do this on a browser, you can do it on Android, you can do it on iOS, you can put in their name. There I am, see, Eric Kurtz, yay, there I am, right there. And so you can put in their name, and then you can pull them up and you can follow them. So I've been connecting with a lot of people through this. I'm just learning. It's something that's very, very new, but I think it's important. I think it's important to think about, you know, the future of all sorts of different social media platforms. For those of us old enough to remember MySpace, you know, things can come and things can go. You know, it does happen. And so there's something about Mastodon being open source and decentralized that I find intriguing, as I think it's definitely worth as educators to investigate. Now, speaking of all of that, that is one of the reasons why, and I said it earlier, but it's one of the reasons why I set up the Control Alt Achieve email discussion group, because I thought, you know, what if, you know, what if, you know, once, you know, system shuts down or things change or whatever, I want to make sure that I can still communicate with people. Well, I think, well, hopefully email's never going to go away. So that is why I set up that discussion group. It's just a way to have a community of like-minded folks where we can continue to chat and have great discussions. So please do consider joining that email group if you haven't done so already. All right. So let's see if there was anything else mentioned about Mastodon, because we're going to move on to my creations from the week. So yeah, I think there's definitely some things popping up here. So Kathy said you probably want to join a server that has a decent number of members, since it may stay around a bit. You know, Kathy, that's a really good point. So I did do a little research when I was trying to join a server, and I looked to see, well, what servers are other people on that I know, and which servers seem to be active. Because yes, if somebody just spun up a server and said, hey, you know, join my Mastodon server, and you know, they could definitely shut it down, which is a good question. I'm still kind of curious, what happens if your server ever does, you know, get shut down? I think a responsible server would let you know well in advance, hey, we're going to be decommissioning this Mastodon instance. Make sure you export your stuff and transfer over to another server. So hopefully that would be the case. I did see Kathy say that, yes, you can move to a different server, hoping that somebody in our EDU universe starts a server. You know, I'm totally with you there. I'm completely with you, Kathy. If there was like a, you know, Mastodon dot, now there is like a Mastodon dot education, but I think it's a lot more college related, like higher ed related, I believe. But yeah, if there was something that was, you know, a Mastodon education one, that would be great. I think, you know, before before we get too deep into it, and you know, it might be nice to have, you know, a an account on a Mastodon server that that a bunch of educational people are behind and want to make sure that we see it succeed. And Peggy says that she agrees that Miguel Gulen is an amazing edtech educator. So yes, definitely follow him. I'm completely with you there, Peggy. All right. Well, I hope I did that reasonable justice for Mastodon. I'm going to go ahead, though, and move on. Just want to get it on your radar. And please do learn with me. When I talk about learning with me, I really do mean it this time. Learn with me, because I am still learning about this. But I wanted to get it on everybody's radar now so you can start investigating. All right. Well, that brings me to what I have been doing. What are my ed tech links? What have I created in the last week? And I've got two things to share here. So the first one is that Google Sheets has a new timeline creator tool. And so if you follow this link, it'll go out to a blog post that I just put up the other day, where I put together a video, a 14-minute video. So this will give you the full details, all the walkthrough. But if you prefer to read stuff too, I've also got all this written out in the blog post with happy little pictures here. Probably the easiest thing to do is just to open up a sample. So I'm just going to open up my Civil War sample. I can actually open up both of these. It'll make a copy. I've got an Edison versus Tesla example and a Civil War example here. So here's the gist. Google Sheets has added the ability to create timelines inside of Google Sheets. So for example, if I go to my Civil War one here, basically what we're looking at, I'll zoom in here a little bit so we can see a little bit better, is this is a regular tab in the spreadsheet where I have some very specific columns. And I've entered data into these columns. And then based upon that, we can then generate a timeline. And here's the timeline that gets generated from that set of data there. So what's the gist? What's going on here? So basically what's happening is Google has six different columns at the moment that column headers that they want you to use. Start date, end date, card title, card detail, color, and group. The only two that are required is start date and card title. That's it. That's the only two you have to use. There has to be a start date and there has to be a title for it. Everything else is optional, but it can be useful to put in an end date, to put in details, and the details can include hyperlinks, to put in colors so you can color code the events, the actual bar for the event. So different colors can mean different things, and also groups. You can group things by a particular title so that it keeps those together. So for example, on mine, I've got a group called Events Before the War, the Civil War, and After the War. And then I used yellow, red, and blue, or green, I'm sorry, yellow, red, and green for my colors there. And then for each one of these things, if you give a click on the event, it pops open that detail on the side where you can read the detail, and you can click on any hyperlinks in there, whatever, to get more information. And yes, you can use emojis in the titles, which is something I think would be helpful. Even though the titles have to be text, emojis are text. So I did that. I added those emojis in there just to brighten it up a little bit and make it look a little bit more interesting there. So that was one of my examples. The other was Tesla versus Edison. And so I put in stuff from both of their lives. And then I use the grouping feature to group all the Tesla things and all the Edison things together. Now, because of that, what that happens is as I scroll across, on the top, I've got Tesla. On the bottom, I've got Edison. And so I'm seeing both of their timelines, you know, kind of with, you know, synced up with each other. So while one thing's happening in one timeline, I'm seeing it in the other timeline down below because of grouping. I've grouped them together to have all the Tesla things and all the Edison things there. Now, there's a lot more. I won't go into all the details, or else it would be 14 minutes. And I know that because that's how long my video is. So I won't redo the entire video with you right now. There's a lot more you can do with it than that. But that's the gist. A couple of quick things. This is for any school account. So this is one of Google's free things. So I'm happy to say this is not one that says, oh, by the way, this is for teaching and learning upgrade, or this is for Education Plus. No, this is for any school account or any work account. It's not for personal accounts, though. So if you have like a Gmail account, they are considering this a business-oriented feature. So you do have to have a school account or a work account. And it is still rolling out. If you're on a scheduled release domain and you don't see it, it just started on the 16th with up to 15 days. So it could be the end of the month before you see this roll out. And again, it's not perfect. I think it's neat. I wish it had some other features. I wish there was the ability to add pictures. I put pictures in like five different ways and I never could get them to ever show up over here. So it doesn't support pictures. And the viewing window isn't, I don't think it's adjustable enough. You can go from days to weeks to months to quarters to years to multi-year, but you can't go beyond that. Multi-years, 5 years at a time. Now, I know why. It's because Google developed this for businesses. It's meant for people to track a project to completion. Every example they show is about the sales team, you know, figuring out the timeline for something. Well, we're educators. You create anything, and we're going to say, oh, we're going to take that and we're going to use it. So anything you make, I guarantee you, we will educify it. I know that's not the word, but we will. We'll look at it sideways and find a way to use it for teaching and learning. Well, this one is designed more for business. So if you wanted to do a timeline that was more on a geologic scale, you know, over millions of years, we don't have an option to see more than 5 years at a time. So it would be very impractical. It just would not be a practical timeline. So we need another option here where you can just type in how many years you want to see. So you could type in, you know, a million years, you know, and it would scale the whole thing to that. That'd be kind of nice. Yeah, Kathy, I'm with you. That is how we roll. That's right. We find something and we find ways to use it. And then yes, Peggy, you asked about images. No, unfortunately, not an option to do that. Kathy said, would students be able to collaborate on a timeline? Absolutely, Kathy. This is a regular Google Sheet. There's nothing special about it. I could hit the share button up here, and I could share this with everybody else in my team and, you know, give them edit rights, and then we could all jump in it together and build this together as well. So, yeah. So anyway, I'm excited about it. I think that's great to have another timeline tool. I did give shout outs to other ones that exist. So please, if this doesn't meet your needs, you know, don't lose heart. There's things like the timeline template from Flippity, timeline JS from Nightlab, the timeline template in Sutori. And then there's even a diagram tool built right into slides and drawings as well. So there are other ones that are out there, but excited to see where this might go. Okay. So that was one of my creations from this week. And then the other was Chromebooks Can Do That. Now, this is not a new thing. I just finally pulled it all together in one place. So I've been doing a training called Chromebooks Can Do That for a while now, probably the last, I don't know, within the last year. It's something that's a newer training I've been doing because so many schools have Chromebooks. I want to make sure, are we making the most out of them? Are we getting the most out of our Chromebooks? And it's very possible that, you know, you bought them just because of the pandemic. Like, hey, we got to get something in our kids' hands, but maybe haven't really looked at all of the amazing features they have and maybe aren't making the most of them. So what I did is I pulled it all together in one place. So I've got two videos. One is a webinar that I did a few months back on, which is my Chromebooks Can Do That webinar, and it's 47 minutes long. And then the other is specifically Google Screencast, because that came out separately. And so when I made this webinar, it wasn't official yet. So I've got those two separate, but all together, it adds up perfectly to an hour. So how about that? So you got a full hour worth of video there. But I also have other things like my resource document. If you'd rather just, you know, pull up the resource document, this has all the same content in there, but it is in a Google Doc with all the links and all the information. You can scroll down through all that and explore it. I've also got a slideshow that goes along with, if you prefer to run through it as a slideshow as well. And then of course the blog post, which covers the same thing. So basically what we're hitting here is how to use the camera tools, how to take photos and videos, how to scan, how to make animated GIFs, all the different things you can do right from the camera tool. Wonderful to be able to record video with this. It's a great way for students to very easily record themselves, or you to record yourself for your videos. Then if you want to add in screen capture with that, I cover that, about using the screen capture tool or the screencast tool if you also want to add in annotations on top of recording your your voice and your face and your screen. You can also add in transcripts and annotation with that. I got a section here on touchpad gestures with that new poster that I put out about a week ago, where we talked about all the different ways that you can use your touchpad on a Chromebook. I've got a section on multiple desks, which is a really handy feature for organizing all of your content. Offline access, what if a student goes home and doesn't have Wi-Fi, or what if you're somewhere and you don't have connection, how to be able to use on a Chromebook Gmail, Drive, and Calendar offline. Helpful keyboard shortcuts, running Android apps on a Chromebook, which opens up a whole new world of amazing things you can do. Like on Jamboard, the mobile app includes things like the auto draw tool built right into it and handwriting recognition, where it can turn handwriting into typed text. Those are built right in. Same thing with like Google Classroom. The mobile version has annotation built right into it. So you can use the web version of Classroom, but you can also use the mobile version. So I got a whole section in here on that. And then lastly, accessibility. One of my favorite topics I love to talk about some of the accessibility tools built right into a Chromebook, like Select to Speak, which can read things aloud for you, or the dictation tool, where you can speak and have things typed up for you, or lots of other ones as well. So hopefully putting it all in one place like this makes it helpful for folks. I've been meaning to do that for a while. So that is all there in one spot. So please do take advantage of it. Feel free, with all my resources, you're absolutely allowed to use these any way you want. I share everything through a Creative Commons 4.0 license, which means it's an attribution license, which just means as long as you leave a link back to where you got it from, back to me, I don't mind what you do with it. You can reuse it, you can modify it, you can put your own content in it. Please do share this stuff and use it for trainings or for working with your students. So that's the idea behind all of that. All right. Very, very, very good. Well, guys, I think that covers all of the links that I wanted to share this week. I am going to take a quick look and see if I missed anything as far as chat goes. So Peggy said, awesome compilation of Chromebook tips. You are so welcome, Peggy. Thanks so much for that. I'm going to take a quick look and see if I missed anything else here. Closing out of some of these extra tabs. I always get a lot of extra tabs. Let me open up the form real quick. I'll take it off to another tab here just to see if I got anything else through the form that we needed to address tonight. And it looks like we did get something in. So the comment was, as per cropping in TextDraft to make a two-line logo, in Apple's Keynote, you would duplicate the logo, click on the image, and pick Image and Edit Mask, and then drag the handles to mask what you want to not be seen. Thank you for sharing. I think that comes from Kathy as well. So yes, I showed an example of doing the text giraffe, taking that image and throwing it in Google Slides. Kathy mentioned that in Apple's Keynote, you would be able to do the same thing too. Click on the image, pick image, and then edit mask to drag the handles to crop what you don't want to have seen. Whereas I was double clicking in Slides to do that cropping. So I'm glad to know that works in Apple's Keynote as well. Well, very good. Excellent. Well, guys, we're going to go ahead and pull things together then. We did have one more comment. So here we go. Anna said, fantastic. Learned a bunch. Oh, I'm so glad, Anna. And Maria says, thank you. I learned many useful resources today. So grateful. Oh, I'm so, well, thank you. I really appreciate the encouragement. That really means a lot to me. Peggy wants to know if we can add that tip to the show notes. Absolutely, Peggy. I will make sure that we get that added in. What I do is I always put a blog post out after this is done. As you see with previous weeks, that blog post will have the recorded video and a lot of kind of fleshed out content. So I can throw that in there as well once I process that after this is done. Well, guys, as we wrap up here, just a reminder that my plan is to shoot for this every Monday night. I would say always check this document because, you know, things can change, but that's my plan. But you can always check bit.ly/CAA-live. And if you can't join us live, that's okay. It's going to be recorded as always, and you can catch that later. I will continue to try to stream this on YouTube, Facebook, and LinkedIn. I know it's streaming on YouTube okay. I think I might need to work on my other links. I think they were showing up as private. So probably a little bit for me still to learn if there's a StreamYard expert out there who wants to contact me and tell me how I properly get StreamYard to talk to Facebook. I would appreciate that, because I think I'm doing something wrong with that. But nevertheless, our plan would be next Monday. So that would be the 28th. So I will update this, of course, with the new date and the new links after I process all this tonight. But guys, thanks so much. Thank you so much for being here tonight. It has been my absolute pleasure. I will go ahead and pop back up on the screen here long enough so we can see. Oh, no, I don't need to be that big. There we go. Pop back up on there long enough, and I'll get our banner up. So thanks so much. I hope everybody has a wonderful short week, I hope, with wonderful time with your family and friends as we approach the Thanksgiving season. And thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for learning with me and making me a better educator along the way. So everybody take care and have a wonderful time. Thanks so much.